This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. It's time for Africa Update, and there is no shortage of news from the continent. In Cameroon, 114 people died when their Kenya Airways plane went down. Officials are looking into the cause of the crash, and we're wondering, how safe are African airlines? Plus, the Pan-African Parliament opens its seventh session, and South Africa's version of the TV show ER. Everything we're going to talk about is with NPR Special Africa correspondent Charlene Hunter-Galt. Charlene, it's great to have you on again.
Thank you, Farai.
So let's talk about this Kenya Airways flight. It's Flight 507. It crashed right after takeoff, and all 114 people aboard died. So what is the status of safety in African airlines?
Well, you know, this is only the second crash of Kenya Airways. It was another one in 2000. But in general, Africa has a very bad safety record. In 2005, there were 57 air crashes around the world and about 1,200 and something fatalities. Africa had 15 of those crashes and 39 fatalities. And while 4% of the global travel is in Africa, 27% of all accidents happen on the continent. That's 6 times higher than the world average. And there are only 3 airlines that fly to the United States that are rated by the International Civil Aviation Organization. That's South Africa, Ethiopia, and Cape Verde. That means that they have, certain criteria, but one is that they can expand more routes, but that generally that they meet all the criteria of a good airline.
What does this mean at this point? Is there any kind of individual state or international body that's really going to look into this? How many inspectors are there?
Well, let me tell you some of the reasons, and I think inspections is part of the problem. I mean, there are a lack of qualified inspectors in most of these African countries. They have old planes, they have poor management, bad aviation standards. Some of these old planes, they use bogus parts, and there's not a lot of maintenance oversight. And, you know, in addition, there's a pilot shortage worldwide, and some of the African carriers, they say, they don't even have pilots who've gotten their licenses legitimately. Now, of course, this doesn't cast a shadow on all of them, but this is certainly the case. And finally, there's corruption. I mean, you've traveled in Africa. I've traveled with gear, recording gear, and you get to the airport, you're way, way over the baggage limitation, and there's a ticket taker with his hand out. And I've often worried about getting on a plane where you don't have any idea how much overweight that plane is. So these are all things that are making it problematic for flying in Africa. What's being done? Well, in some cases, they're training people to be inspectors, especially of these new planes. They're bringing in experts. But in general, there's not a lot that can be done. It has to be done in each individual country.
Well, Charlene, you are an original road warrior. You have been out there traveling around the continent. And I know it can't be easy. But let's move on to the Pan-African Parliament. Tell us what it is, first of all, and what it's supposed to do.
Well, you know, this is a body. It's in its seventh session, as you said. It's an arm of the legislative body of the African Union. It's supposed to represent the voice of the people. It's drawn from elected legislators of 53 African states. Now, of course, they won't have any powers until 2009. But in the meantime, they have oversight of many of the AU's goals, like cultivating human rights and democracy, good governance, transparency, accountability, peace and security, and strengthening solidarity throughout the continent. They're also talking about economic integration. And this meeting is taking place at the same time as a meeting in Durban of African officials who are looking at integrating the continent, making this a United States of Africa. So this is a body that right now is more talk than action, but it is laying the groundwork for being the legislative body of the continent.
That's a huge mandate.
Yes, and there are problems because on Monday, the first time an African Union chairman, John Kufuor, the president of Ghana, spoke to the opening session, and he reiterated, you know, those things that I just talked about, the goals of the African Union. But he also talked about the fact that it was cash-strapped as well as the African Union. They just don't have enough funds. So somewhere they've got to get the money. But in the meantime, It is doing some departures. It's making some departures. It's looking at the environment. And as you know, Africa is suffering from droughts and floods and famines, which is affecting the people. And Kilimanjaro has almost no more snow on it. And so the environment is very critical in Africa. But equally important, and for the first time, this body is going to take up the human rights issues, and they're specifically going to talk about Zimbabwe. This is one of the resolutions on the table for this week. It was introduced by South Africa, South African legislator, and they're going to look at whether or not there are human rights abuses in Zimbabwe and what they can recommend to the African Union be done.
That is really big news. And finally, pop culture. One of the things that you probably missed about being in the States was the TV show ER, which has been phenomenally popular. And you were a loyal fan, but now your interest, if not your prayers, have been answered in Johannesburg?
That's right. I just found out that I could also get ER on one of the cable channels, but there is a new show in town. It's called Josie H, and it takes a look at what it describes as the intense crucible of class struggles and culture clashes. That's their PR, but it's set like a lot of public hospitals all over the world, dealing with big traumas like accidents and shootings and stabbings. And, the doctors have to make hard choices about who to treat and who to turn away because they have limited funds, as most public hospitals do, and especially here. But they also have an African angle to it, especially on the culture. Like, for example, the other night I was up late watching, and there was a guy who had been brought in. He had lost his hand in what they call a muti thing, and muti is what some people would call black magic, but the whoever did it had cut off his hand, and they were trying to sew it back. So it has a particular African angle, but also some other cultures, and they have Western doctors coming in up against African culture that they don't know, and they have to learn in order to survive and contribute. And the other thing is that the acting is really good. It's been amazing being here in South Africa for 10 years and seeing what Africans who are trying to take control of their own stories, their own images, have actually done in television and in the theater. The acting is just as good as my actors in ER in America, and I'm in front of the tube every Thursday night.
Well, I have to say, when I was visiting you in South Africa, I totally loved the TV shows, and I was like, we really need these, in the US. I think there would be a market for them. But anyway, let's listen to a little bit of Josie H.
Come on. I've seen better backflow in the crash test dummy.
Unstable pelvis, no bowel sounds. She's blowing up quickly.
Where's radiology?
Underway.
Make that a CT to the head too while they're at it. What's he on about?
The cop. Unlawful touching, illegal detention, and assault of a deadly IV.
Oh, after you, man of my dreams.
We're replacing a blown tube on the scanner. Downtime, 30 to 40 minutes, maybe more.
Oh, for God's sake.
How quickly the love dies.
Think we need an opinion?
Well, there you go. A bunch of medical jargon, just like ER. And
sound familiar?
Yeah, exactly. But, I think South African TV is really exciting. So it looks like you're a happy camper.
At the moment, I am. Thank you so much, Farai.
Charlene Hunter-Galt is NPR's special Africa correspondent.